Just want to take a last couple of minutes and just sort of, we had a survey. I'm going to share it with you as we go through these next few meetings. And if you have some questions, we can add to it. So shoot us an email if you want to, if you have a question you'd like us to put in the survey. But Tammy, here are a couple of things that we put in the survey. Maybe I'll just ask you to comment on them. We've been asking people all over the country and all different tumor types how COVID has affected clinical practice. And I think what we're seeing here, which is answers from all over the country, is kind of typical what we're seeing. So one question we ask, we hear a lot about, particularly in places like New York, where there's a real crunch on resources, that, you know, basic cancer treatments such as surgery and radiation therapy in some cases have been delayed for long periods of time. And you can see here that in both of those things has occurred to a moderate extent, at least in the people answering this. This is, of course, maybe the most dramatic change in medicine in general and oncology. I saw an article in the New York Times that said we went through 10 years of change in 1 week, which is the use of telemedicine. And we could spend an entire hour talking about it. But you can see here our respondents in general. Well, actually, it's interesting that actually a quarter of them were using some kind of telemedicine before. We usually get a much lower answer, but almost everybody is now. And there's a lot we could talk about as it relates to that. Tammy, we'll show you some more results of this as we go through this series, including Tuesday night when we do lymphoma. But just, I'm just curious, Tammy, what your experience has been with telemedicine. It's new for a lot of people. What do you see as the positives and the negatives?
So yeah, prior to this, I was not doing any telemedicine, and overnight I was doing full patient schedules. I certainly don't like sitting at a table for my 8-hour clinic day. I miss running from room to room, actually. But I think for patients that I'm able to do video visits, I feel like the quality of care, I'm still able to connect with them, getting them used to how to hold their camera to show me certain side effects gets to be interesting. For patients who don't have access to a smartphone or internet, doing phone visits, I find those are more challenging. Those are a little bit more difficult, especially for those poor historian patients. So I have found that that has been a little bit more challenging. But I think overall, my patients have had a really good response to this change in care and still feel connected and in touch with us.
So one final comment. I'm curious, Wells, you know, one of the things that I've been wondering about is hopefully we get through this whole thing and come out the other end back where we were before. But, you know, whether telemedicine to some extent is going to remain, hopefully to some extent. But what I'm curious about specifically, Wells, is the potential for telemedicine to assist in terms of clinical research. Because there are a lot of patients who don't want to travel to tertiary centers. And if you could actually execute trials, we already showed examples. You have this man with this incredible response who was on a trial of atezo-bev. Do you think that maybe moving forward, Wells, we might be able to use telemedicine to get more people into trials?
Yeah, I think it's an incredible opportunity. And like Tammy, I'm doing probably half my clinic visits are telemedicine. And remember, you know, Melanie is a native Coloradan. There's not many of them. But out here, we treat people from Wyoming, Montana, Kansas, Western Nebraska, New Mexico. These people are driving 6 hours for sort of a tox check. It's crazy. So being able to have local labs and then having that one-on-one interaction with the patient. We also have Share My Screen technology so we can show them scans. We can trend out all their labs. It's been incredible. And unfortunately, of course, at this point, we're just racking up deviations. And it's interesting, the companies are having us start each deviation with COVID-19, blah, 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 COVID-19, blah, 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 because there's just so many deviations across research. But you know, the FDA put out guidance, the NCI put out guidance. It's kind of a forgiveness period. But I hope that we don't go back to making people drive 6 hours for just a standard sort of side effect check or something that's pretty straightforward. And so there's a lot of things where, I mean, I don't wish this COVID thing whatsoever, but it has accelerated some changes, which may at the end of the day be good.
So thanks so much to the faculty, and thanks to all the attendees for participating.